Lesson 118, Isaiah chapter 6 through 9. Introduction. Isaiah saw the Lord, and the Lord called Isaiah to minister to the people of Judah. Isaiah warned Ahaz, the king of Judah, not to make an alliance with Syria and Israel against Assyria. Isaiah prophesied of the destruction of the wicked, the gathering of Israel in the latter days, and the power of Jesus Christ to save his people if they will repent. Note. Use objects and pictures to help students understand content. Part of understanding the scriptures is learning the meanings of difficult words or phrases, parables, and symbols. Objects and pictures can help students visualize some symbols in the scriptures. For example, in addition to talking about an altar, you could display the picture of an altar. Or in addition to talking about how a hot coal can symbolize a cleansing agent, you could display a piece of coal. Suggestions for teaching. Isaiah 6. Isaiah sees the Lord in vision and is called to prophesy to the people. Ask students what worries or concerns they might have if they were called on a mission to a wicked people. Explain that Isaiah 6 begins with a vision that Isaiah had when he was called to serve the Lord. Invite a student to read Isaiah 6, 1 through 4 aloud. Ask the class to follow along and look for what Isaiah saw in this vision. According to verse 1, whom did Isaiah see? What else did Isaiah see in the vision? You may want to explain that seraphim are angelic beings that minister in the courts of God. The wings of the seraphim are symbolic of their power to move or to act. See DNC 77, verse 4. Invite a student to read Isaiah 6, 5 aloud. Ask the class to follow along and look for how Isaiah felt in the presence of the Lord. How did Isaiah feel in the Lord's presence? Why? You may want to point out to students the explanation in Isaiah 6, 5, footnote A, to help them understand how Isaiah felt. Invite students to ponder times when they have felt they were in a very holy place or in the presence of someone very holy. Ask a student to read Isaiah 6, 6 through 7 aloud. Ask the class to follow along and look for what happened to Isaiah in his vision. Explain that the coal taken from the altar was a symbol of cleansing. According to verse 7, what did the seraphim say had happened to Isaiah's sins? They had been purged or removed from him. What feelings might you have if a messenger from the Lord pronounced you clean from your sins? Why might you have those feelings? Ask a student to read Isaiah 6, 8 aloud. Invite the class to follow along, looking for what the Lord asked and how Isaiah responded. How did Isaiah respond to the Lord's invitation to serve? Explain that this invitation was Isaiah's call to be a prophet. How might the knowledge that he was clean from sin affect Isaiah's willingness to serve the Lord? From what you learned about Isaiah in this account, how can being cleansed from our sins affect our desire to serve the Lord? Students may identify a principle such as the following. As we are forgiven of our sins, we become more willing to do what God asks of us. Explain that when we are clean from our sins, we have a greater desire to serve the Lord and to help others draw closer to Him and become clean as well. Explain that Isaiah 6, 9 through 10 describes the people to whom Isaiah was called to preach. Invite a student to read Isaiah 6, 9 and 10 aloud. Ask the class to follow along and look for what the Lord said about how the people would respond to Isaiah's message. What did the Lord tell Isaiah about how the people would respond to his message? The people would reject his message and thereby harden their hearts and become spiritually deaf, or make their ears heavy, and blind, or shut their eyes. You may want to clarify that the Lord did not want the people to harden their hearts and become spiritually deaf and blind. Rather, the Lord's words in verse 10 describe the people's response to Isaiah's preaching. They would choose not to listen. Isaiah chapters 7 through 9. Isaiah prophesies of Jesus Christ. Ask students if they know what their names mean. Ask a few students to share. Then ask if any of them know why their parents gave them their name, and invite a few students to share. explained that the meanings of names in the Scriptures can often teach us important truths. Invite a student to read Isaiah 7:3 and 8:1 aloud. Ask the class to follow along and look for what Isaiah named his two sons. What names did Isaiah give to his sons? Draw three columns on the board and label them Meher, Shalal, Hashbaz, Shir, Jashub, and Isaiah. Then ask students to look in Isaiah 7:3 footnote A, 8:1 footnote D, and 8:18 footnote A to discover the meaning of each name. Invite students to report what they find and write the meanings on the board under the appropriate name. See the chart below. Please refer to the chart on the middle of page 432, which is divided into three columns, each column based on the name just provided. Invite a student to read Isaiah 8:18 aloud. Ask the class to follow along and look for how Isaiah saw himself and his sons in relation to the children of Israel. Explain that Isaiah's and his sons' names were signs of the great things the Lord would do to Israel. Their names represent three themes that are prevalent in Isaiah's writings. Number one, the destruction the people would face if they persisted in wickedness. Number two, the eventual gathering of Israel back to the promised land and God's covenant. And number three, the power of Jesus Christ to save his people. Write the following references on cards or pieces of paper and hand them out to students. Provide duplicate references if you have a large class, or give students more than one reference if you have a small class. Please refer again to the chart on page 432, which lists various scriptures from Isaiah. Invite students to read the reference on their card and decide which of the three themes their scripture passage relates to. Ask students to take turns summarizing what they read and what they feel they can learn from that particular prophecy. You could have students place their cards under the appropriate columns on the board. Explain that because of the people's wickedness during the time of Isaiah, destruction loomed in their future. Invite a student to read aloud the following account from Elder Russell M. Nelson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles about a woman he and Elder David S. Baxter met. Invite students to consider how they would respond to the woman. Quote, "Last year, while Elder David S. Baxter and I were driving to a state conference, we stopped at a restaurant. Later, when returning to our car, we were approached by a woman who called out to us. We were startled at her appearance. Her grooming, or lack of it, was what I might politely call extreme. She asked if we were elders in the church. We said yes. Almost unrestrained, she told the story of her tragic life, swamped in sin. Now only 28 years old, she was miserable. She felt worthless, with nothing to live for. As she spoke, the sweetness of her soul began to emerge. Pleading tearfully, she asked if there was any hope for her, any way up and out of her hopelessness." End quote. From Repentance and Conversion, Ensign Orleahona, May 2007. What would you have said to the woman? Explain that in Isaiah 9, we read Isaiah's description of how Israel had turned away from the Lord and the consequences that awaited them. Invite a student to read aloud Isaiah 9, 12, 17, and 21. Ask the class to follow along, looking for a phrase that Isaiah repeated as he taught the people about the consequences of their sins. What phrase did Isaiah repeat? Quote, "His anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." End quote. Write this statement on the board. Explain that Isaiah may have intended more than one meaning with the phrase, "His hand is stretched out still," because the Lord's hand can be extended for both mercy and justice. One meaning may be that because the people of Isaiah's time did not turn away from sin, they would experience the Lord's hand in the form of destruction. But Isaiah may also have been teaching that the Lord still offered hope for eventual mercy if the people would repent. Invite a student to read aloud Isaiah 9:12, footnote D. What truths can we learn about Isaiah's imagery of the Lord's hand being stretched out? Although students' responses may vary, write the following principles on the board. If we repent, The Lord is willing to extend His mercy to us and forgive our sins. The justice of God demands punishment for sin, but the atonement brings about the plan of mercy to appease the demands of justice. Read the conclusion of Elder Nelson's account and ask students to look for what Elder Nelson and Elder Baxter taught the woman. Quote, "Yes," we responded, "there is hope. Hope is linked to repentance. You can change. You can come unto Christ and be perfected in Him." We urged her not to procrastinate. She sobbed humbly and thanked us sincerely. End quote. How can both images of the Lord's hand stretched out, one threatening justice and the other offering mercy, help us decide to repent and come unto Him? Invite students to ponder the love the Savior has for them and to consider what they may need to repent of. Testify of the Lord's willingness to stretch out His hand of mercy to us as we repent. Draw students' attention to the names of Isaiah and his sons and their meanings. Invite students to look for these three themes as they continue to study Isaiah. Encourage students to share with a friend or family member what impressed them during the lesson today.